You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, and we are speaking all things the woman of God. She is diligent, has a keen sense of business matters, is compassionate, is prepared for the future, is a good teacher, is a dedicated to her family, and above all else, possesses the primary characteristics of a biblical wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Her virtues shows us that she shuns sinfulness. Ned, what does the Bible say about such a woman, right? And I did say that we are joined on the line by Sister Siyakwenda, Mwaka Siyakwenda. I don't know why I'm calling her by her surname only, you know. So it's Mwaka Siyakwenda who's joining us on the line. Good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. How are you?
I am good, sis. So we're speaking about a very interesting conversation today. But before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right. Shall we have a quick word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for today and for the privilege you have given us to learn precious truths from your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, as you promised us in your word that you would. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. So when I first saw this title saying that we're going to be speaking about a woman of God, I was like, yo, are we speaking about female pastors? Because this is a term that is often associated with female pastors, like woman of God. I was like, maybe my sister, you know, will help us this. So is this title, before we get into the nitty-gritties, is this title only reserved for female pastors, or even me and you, even though we're not pastors, you know, we are women of God?
That's an interesting observation, actually, because I just thought, you know, and the opposite is true. Every time we say man of God, we're often referring to pastors. But a woman of God is limited to preachers only. It's as easy as the name itself says. It's just a woman who has decided to dedicate herself and her life to God. Mm-hmm. So it is a woman that has been saved by Jesus Christ, a woman that has accepted Christ as her savior, and a woman that loves Christ. And the love is not just a state of affection. It reflects in what she does. That's what makes you a woman of God. So it's whosoever will.
Okay. So do we have a description of what kind of a woman this woman of God has to be like from the Bible, or we just pick there? We're like, no man, Esther had this character, so we're going to take it. Sarai had this one, so we're going to take it this one, and then we put them together like, this is what the woman is supposed to look like. Or we do have somewhere in the Bible where it says a woman should be like this.
So there are, I'd love to say yes and no. Mm-hmm. Yes, in that there are different women of God who had amazing characters and personalities that we can learn from. And no, there's not one specific woman that's defined only as the standard of what a woman of God is. Mm-hmm. So there are several portions of scripture. Even just the one that we were opening with, you know, when you were just speaking of like how she has all these biblical traits, she's prepared for the future, as is written in Psalms 31. That's one of the most famous, the Proverbs 31 verse is one of the most famous verses in referring to women of God. We've got verses in 2 Peter 3 that also speak of how women of God should be. I think if I could, in a minute or so, quickly run through, actually, 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 2, it says, when they see the purity and reverence of your life, your beauty should not come from merely outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, wearing of gold or jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be of your inner self, of the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, for which is of great worth in God's sight. Because this is how holy women of the past who put hope in God used to adorn themselves. So there are several portions of scripture in the Bible that can give us lessons, especially as women, on how we can reflect more and more of the character of God.
I like that. And, you know, when we're speaking about things and then the scripture speaks about those things, I'm always super excited because we do have a reference, you know. We don't have to look at, you know, our neighbors, our teachers, but the Bible has actually given us that. So let's say there is a woman who's listening to us out there. They don't know Christ, or they've not received Christ, or they have, but they still don't know how to become that godly woman, you know, a woman of God. Is there a way in which one can become that woman of God? Some of us, you know, we love, but take compassion. it's something that is far away from us. Some of us, we've been struggling with forgiveness. Some of us are struggling even with love itself. Some of us can't even pray. So which now it hinders us from becoming that woman of God. So how then do we become that person?
I personally love this question because it deals with something that I feel as Christians, we need to properly understand. Sometimes we focus so much on doing things instead of being a person. We focus on trying to do the things instead of being a particular person. Hopefully, I won't digress. You know, when Jesus was going, he told us that he didn't say, I want you to go witnessing. He said, I want you to be witnesses. So it's not so much about doing things. Jesus is concerned about being someone. So how do we become that person? It starts first by accepting Christ. It starts first by submitting and surrendering yourself to Christ. A lot of the things that we struggle with are actually going to come naturally when Christ is working in us, because he tells us that it's the Spirit that works in us to will and to do pleasure. So the first and most important step is actually accepting Christ. Our hearts are wicked, naturally just wicked. And on our own, we can't even desire good. So we would need Christ first to work in our hearts. And I can't even emphasize this enough. Surrender. It places you in an opportunity for Christ to make you who he wants you to be. And a friend of mine actually says that I don't want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. I want to be like Christ, because the Proverbs 31 woman is actually just a reflection of what Christ is. So the goal is not to be like the woman in Proverbs 31. The goal is to be a perfect reflection of Christ, and all these other things will come out naturally. But then other than surrender, another important thing that we would need to do is avail yourself, like be ready for all that to work. What I'm trying to say is, yes, I've accepted Christ. Yes, I want him to work in me. But then there, which means now I have to avail myself to forgive people even when I don't feel like forgiving. I'll have to actively find ways in which I can participate in events, activities, community service, things that place me in a position to reflect that character of God. So it's not just having Christ, but it's also availing yourself to be ready to reflect that image of God, availing yourself to be ready to do what God actually wants you to do. So first you become the person, and when you become the person, avail yourself to do the things. Don't start by trying to love because it's hard. Don't start by forcing yourself to forgive because it's hard. Start by having Christ in you, and then avail yourself to do the things.
You know, I love it when you said that, you know, what your friend said. I think it's something that is quite interesting, that whenever we're looking at the Proverbs 31 woman, we don't see Christ there. We just think this woman, you know, who has all these qualities, but forgetting that this woman is actually reflecting who Christ is. And I love how, you know, you're bringing that forth. And Abanye, you know, when they're now hammering, be a Proverbs 31 woman, instead of saying be like Christ. Be like Christ. So that is very important. I'm so thankful that, you know, you have raised that. And it's something that we should actually highlight, that be like Christ. You have to be like Christ. Not any other woman you see in the Bible or with the descriptions, but be like Christ. And someone, my sister, you know, would ask themselves, good, why then should I be that woman? Why then should I be a godly woman? Why should I be a woman that whenever people see, they see Christ? You know, why? Because, like, you know, we always have the reasons. So why should we reflect?
What's the point?
Why should we be that person?
I've come to learn over time in life that everything that God wants me to do is not just, you know, like, yes, it's for his glory, but that isn't the primary purpose. He doesn't just want us to do things because he's fed by our service. Like, everything he wants us to do is because at the end of the day,
hello? Oh, network. Network is going. Okay. Oh, okay, fine. Let's call it back. Let's call it back. The network actually dribbled us there. It dribbled us there. So we are going to be calling back our sister. I love how what she's saying, that, you know, be that godly woman. And it's something that is actually quite possible to do. Just have to accept Christ. Hi, sister. We lost you there. Welcome back.
Hello.
Yes. You may continue your point there. We're losing here again, the network, and my direct lines don't work. if you're at home, can you please call, pray for my direct lines to work? So yeah, that, yes, hello? She's back. Yes, Sister Mwaka, you can continue. We are, okay, we are losing, okay, you, I hope I, a bit. Yeah.
I hope I don't lose network again. So yeah. I was saying, everything that God asks us to do is because it reflects, it's actually for our own good. He doesn't just want us to do certain things for no reason. It benefits our lives at the end of the day. When God asks us to be diligent, if you are a diligent person, the quality of the life you live is amazing. You have a peace of mind because you are not scandalous. You have a clean work, and you get to sleep with peace at night. When you love people, you experience a beautiful life, because the like I say, the quality of your life is improved when you are someone who cares for people, because then they care for you as well. Mm-hmm. When you are not lazy, when you are hardworking, when you've got something going on for yourself, the life that you live at the end of the day is significantly improved. So when Christ or God wants us to be certain people, it's not just so that it makes him happy. It makes us happy as well. It improves the quality of life that we live. So why should we be these people? Because our life here on earth significantly gets better. I'm tempted, but I don't have much time, but I'm tempted to mention of this study. It's called the Happiness Study. I think it was done at Harvard. And the Happiness Study concluded that the people that were happy, they followed up some people for about 80 years. And those out of that study, the people that were happy are people who lived in good relationships with people, not those that had the most money, not those that had the best jobs, that had ascended to the highest positions of in their careers, but just people that had quality relationships, good friends, good families. And being that woman allows you to have good relationships with the community, because you are helping the community. Mm. It helps you have a good relationship also with yourself, because of how you choose to keep yourself, what you eat, how you live. It makes you healthier. It makes you happier. It improves the quality of life.
Mm. So seeing that, you know, we most of the time we can spot this particular woman, you know, we can see them, their testimony by their way of lives. But there are some that are like, "Ay man, this one, there's something wrong here. We're not, it's not making sure," you know. So what are some of the patterns that we can pick up saying, now I'm starting to, you know, to do the wrong thing. So maybe now it's not going to work out correctly. Or now I have backslidden, for example. Do we have qualities or patterns that we can see that this one is actually not a woman of God? Or they were, but something might have happened in their lives?
Some patterns that you can notice in other people, but more especially in yourself, patterns that hinder you from being that woman. The first of those that come to mind is self, or rather pride. I believe self is the greatest enemy that we can have.
Yeah.
The greatest battle that we'll ever have is the battle against self. Mm. Every time there is the temptation to place yourself first instead of placing other people, there's this temptation to place yourself first instead of placing... So the temptation to have self, the first thing that hinders us from being that woman. Another thing is when we are to look at the characteristics of that woman, basically the opposite of each. Mm. Because a godly woman is a hardworking woman, so laziness is one of those patterns that we generally need to struggle, especially youths of today. There is... And I'm actually, you know, like, it's the pot calling the kettle black here. But like, yeah, there is this apparent desire we have to do nothing. Like, we just love not doing anything. Like, we can sit hours on end just doom scrolling on media. But to be honest, that doesn't reflect a godly woman. Mm. You are, it should be in Christ Object Lessons, where inspired writings say that time is one of those talents that God is going to demand strict account for. He wants us to be diligent with how we spend our time. So laziness is one of those up traits or those patterns that hinder us from becoming that godly woman.
When you were saying, when you were saying laziness there, I know that, you know, when life has dealt with us nice, well, you wake up in your garden, you sit, you face the sun. When the sun moves to 12 o'clock, you turn with it.
You turn.
You know, so I'm like,
so right. Sad.
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah. And I think if I could think of another one quickly, you mentioned a few stuff like forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of those traits that that reflects Christ in your heart, Christ in your life. Because the Bible says the fact that you have been forgiven has impact on how you forgive other people as well. So holding grudges, you know, unnecessary hurt, unnecessary pain, holding on to things that just broke you, and it's understandable you were hurt, but holding on to them then implies that you're no longer reflecting the character of God, because it is godly to forgive. But generally, everything else falls under the umbrella of selfishness. Everything falls under the umbrella of pride. That's one of the key things that hinder us from reflecting this character of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thus being godly women.
Before I let you go, Sister Mwaka, there's someone here who's saying that one of the traits or things that we can spot with someone is, you know, there's something there that we must pray for. They're saying that it's an issue of dress. Now the person is starting to dress. Otherwise, you know, you start questioning like, it seems like your skirt is too short, or your shirt is showing us things that we're not supposed to see. Is that one of those things? I'm very touchy about dress, but is that one of those things that we can see that ish, something is wrong there? Something is, you know, something has happened.
Yeah. To be honest, yes, it is. And a lot of us are uncomfortable with it. One of the principles for me is, I might have a long time finding the verse, but it should be in Exodus. When God was giving instruction to Aaron to Moses on how Aaron's apparel should be. So he said that you should make a holy garment for Aaron, and it should be for glory first and then for beauty. And basically, as godly women, what our goal when it comes to modesty should be, the first thing is it for glory? And the second thing is it for beauty? Like, godly women don't forget to look good. But generally, there is a lot about modesty, and it's not written in stone. But I can just say godly women are modest women. And in terms of modesty, we're speaking of for glory first and for beauty.
Yeah, no, indeed. Thank you so much for that one, Sister Swami. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us that we may become that godly woman, we may become that woman that whenever people see us, you know, they don't start questioning our character or anything like that, but they're like, I actually want to be like that woman. When I grew, you know, this children, like, when I grew up, I want to be like, you know,
I
want to be like Sister Zanele. They, instead of saying, when I grow up, I don't want to be like her or anything like that. So I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, we're praying. Our God and our Father, we want to once again say thank you for this beautiful discussion that you allowed us to have. And I want to dedicate all the women that were listening right now, and others that will probably be listening as well, that Lord, may you keep us safe and keep us alive. But most importantly, I place each and everyone in the precious hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I know those hands are strong enough to protect and yet gentle enough to keep us okay. Those hands are the hands of the potter, who will mold us and make us more and more like him. We pray, Lord, that even as we are the clay, may you mold us and shape us into people that reflect your image. Because when we reflect your image as women, we then become godly women. And even for the men that were listening, we just pray that they will be supportive structures in helping the women around them reflect more and more of your image. May they be safe places. May they be points of strength and encouragement as we day by day reflect your image for your unending love. It is in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my sister. May you have yourself a blessed, blessed day. And may you also continue being a godly woman. I'll also try my best, you know, to be a godly woman. But thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed.